Christmas.
Ish. I mean, yeah, it's Christmas.
I like that. It's Christmas-ish.
As we sit, it is Devin Rodriguez's birthday. He's 26 years old.
Dang.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
I always forget, though, because of all the things that happen this time of year, that it's also about to be the end of a decade. It's almost the end of the 2010s.
I didn't even think about
the
that.
The 20 teens. They're almost over. I always forget about it just because it's Christmas, Thanksgiving, Devin's birthday. All these things are happening. And then it's like, boo, gotcha, new year. But this one is like...
new decade.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a thought today.
Which is?
What was the greatest overreaction of the decade amongst the people of the world or in our life?
I got a local one.
Okay, tell me.
So there was a few years ago where Tennessee drew Iowa as their bowl game,
mm-hmm.
and they destroyed Iowa. Like, it was Josh Dobbs' best football game of his life. And basically everybody...
he had that tiptoe touchdown down the sideline. It was beautiful.
Every Tennessee fan was like, this is it. And then the preseason... there was a preseason article by somebody on ESPN that basically said that Tennessee was going to be 12-1 and competing for the national championship. And I was sitting at a restaurant with a few friends, and this was like a friend of a friend, like one of Justin and Todd's friends.
Do you need to finish this sentence?
And the guy goes, I'll be disappointed if we're not undefeated.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
And I was like, that's...
well, they started 6-0. They lost in like double overtime to A&M to go 6-1. He was also in the top 10 at the time.
And then
they collapsed. I mean, it's the story of the Butch Jones era. Is they had one great player who covered up for a lot of poor coaching. And here
but
we are.
I don't know if that's the greatest overreaction of the decade, but around here locally, it was, you were seeing people ride high for a while and then just the classic pain of football. Football is pain. What's your overreaction of the decade?
This popped in my head today.
Okay. Well, you asked me a question that you've already got a loaded answer for, and I'm just supposed to come up with something out of the clip.
That was great. I just had this, like, I don't ever think about it. The reason I thought about this is because our friends texted us and said, hey, what are y'all doing on New Year's? And I was like, it's New Year's. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I was like, it's the end of a decade. And like, people were like posting all kinds of stuff on social media about how it's, oh, look at me 10 years ago. Like, all the, sorry, that sounded really condescending. I think that's awesome. I don't know why I said that. Please forgive me. Do you remember when the iPhone 7 came out and they got rid of the headphone jack?
Oh.
And the world freaked out.
Everybody freaked out.
And I was like, one, they gave you new headphones. Two, they gave you a dongle if you didn't want the new headphones. All the things, man. It was like, what are we doing? The iPhone's waterproof. I remember Twitter being an uproar about this. Like, well, I want my headphone jack. And it's like, and I have to pay for the new AirPods? Is that what it is? You're making me pay for the air? And it's like, no, you just plug the thing in there. Just plug it in.
Yeah.
It works the same.
Right. I love that.
I have perfectly good pair of Bluetooth headphones, and I use my, like, my Apple headphones. I just like them.
You know?
Sorry, this actually...
this is funny
boils
because
me a little bit.
Your rant voice, when you're doing an impression of someone complaining... That's a really fun little Thomas voice right there.
I don't think you voice. Like, of all the things you know about me, I don't think you realize how many voices I do on a normal basis. Like, Maddie is laughing so hard right now, and she's going through all the voices that I do on a normal, like when I read billboards to her and the way they should be read, just like with the voice that should read it.
Well, you also, I was saying earlier when I pulled into your house that you have the voice where you greet someone where it's like really formal.
Hi.
Exactly. I'm like, hey, T. You're like, hi.
I love making little, I like doing that. Like there's a restaurant off of Western Avenue.
Yeah.
And it's called Tracy's Restaurant.
Right.
That's just it. And I think it should be read by like an very old person with no teeth. So I always, whenever Maddie and I drive by it, or if I just think of it, I'm like, let's go to Tracy's restaurant. But you got to say restaurant.
Restaurant.
Yeah.
Let's,
the best pot roast
in town. It has the whistle.
Yeah.
In between the, like that one character.
Maddie's woodpeckering so hard at me right now. It's She's like, ugh.
You know the Sheriff of Nottingham and the old classic Disney?
Yes. The foxes?
Yeah.
The fox.
where Robin Hood's a fox.
Dude. Yes.
Well, let's see what happens here.
Oh, I love that movie.
It's a good movie, man. That's a good one.
That's my strip throat movie.
You know what, though? On second thought, as I think back to the overreaction of the decade.
Okay, there you go.
As much as he has my heart and I love him to the depths of who I am, I think Potsy overreacts to almost everything.
Yes.
Like he overplans.
Oh, yes. You
overpack.
Can we say this?
Go. By the way, when I'm driving down to your house tonight, I was driving by and I noticed every one of Potsy's lights were on.
Yes, I honked because I thought he was there. His car was not there.
His car wasn't there. And then parked right beside the side of his house like it was hiding, playing hide and seek, was his gigantic truck, Mr. Yeah. T, which we also call Scabies.
F-550. Like, oh, I love that, man.
Why was it parked that close to the house?
I don't know, man.
Why were all his lights on?
I don't know.
Why isn't he there?
I don't know. Whenever I drive by Potsy's house and I know he's home, he gets three really quick honks. Beep, beep, beep. Yeah, and I
which
did
your
it.
Your truck
it
has
there.
The most ridiculous sounding horn.
It's like partially connected. Did you know that? It's actually true. Like
that's why.
Yeah, they like for some reason at some point it got disconnected by someone at like a repair shop, and they like put it on like halfway, so it's like really high pitched. It's like meep meep. it's like what a June bug would sound like if it had a car horn.
Oh my meep, gosh.
Meep. Yeah, that deserved more laughter.
That was funny.
Yeah. Yeah, that was great.
That was funny.
Anyways.
Let's go to Tracy's restaurant.
Tracy's restaurant. Honey, get us a table. It's 4:00 in the afternoon. The dinner
Sherwood
rush is
Forest.
Coming up. I don't know. What's that?
Little John.
Little John, just like a giant bear.
Little John's the exact same voice that played Baloo.
Yeah. It's essentially the same character.
The exact same character.
Oh, it's such a good...
It's great. So, were you going to tell a Potsy story?
I shouldn't.
Okay.
I love him.
Like that one time when you went on vacation with him and Reezer, and for the three of you, he rented a 12-passenger.
Okay, that's the best one. I'll never forget it. We were going to pick Bill. First of all, Bill is pissed because he flew into like Orlando International, like the airport of Orlando, and we flew into Orlando Sanford, which is an hour north.
Oh my gosh.
It's just like this tiny little airport. And he was like, guys, what the heck? Why are we in different air? So like Potsy had to get like 5 hours to pick this guy up. Our friend Bill was this guy. And we had to meet him at this giant airport, and we had to like circle waiting on Bill to come out.
Oh my gosh.
And Bill was calling me. He's like, guys, where are you? Where are you? And I was like, Bill, we were the giant white van, the giant 15-passenger van. He's like, are you serious? And I was like, yes. We're coming.
Oh.
He hasn't gotten... He Potsy knows.
The overreaction of the decade might be the 15-passenger van for three people to play golf for a couple days.
Golf.
Welcome to Ancient and New. This is a Bible study podcast, ostensibly. And it's Christmas.
Mm-hmm,
last week we talked about the Song of Zechariah in the Gospel of Luke. And this week we're going to do another OG Christmas song. This is the song that Mary breaks into.
This will be our last episode before Christmas.
Is that right?
Pre-Christmas episode.
Wow.
The next one will be the day after Christmas.
That's right. That's crazy.
Wow. Shoot.
You know, it really makes you think.
What's it make you think about?
This is Luke chapter 1. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, I don't think I've noticed that before, the loud voice part. She exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. And then this happens with Mary, which I feel like there had to be such a relief to Mary, because it's like everybody, like she's kind of being sent away to go into hiding, so people aren't messing with her all the time. And nobody believes her story about the angel and the Messiah and the whole thing and not having sex with Joseph yet. And then she goes to her cousin Elizabeth, whose husband is a temple priest.
Right.
And so it's like, you know, a lecture is coming.
Well, it's, to be fair, it's hard to believe Mary.
Yeah.
Like if you're just some,
yeah, it's the
cousin of Mary's.
Yeah.
It's like, you're telling me an angel appeared to you, an angel,
air quotes,
by the way, it's been 400 years since we've heard anything.
Right.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm interrupting. No, I just,
it's exactly right.
I've never taken that stance before, and I'm not trying to take a stance. I'm just saying, like,
it couldn't be more right.
Yeah. Sorry. Keep going.
No, exactly. And then, so she's thinking she's going to get this lecture, and all of a sudden Elizabeth says all this stuff like, wow, you are blessed and highly favored and the whole thing. And I can't believe I get to be visited by the mother of my Lord. And it says, so Mary said, and you know, she sang it, my soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and to his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. And Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months, and then she returned home. So that's it. That's the song of Mary.
That's it. It's really sweet.
It is. It's also kind of BA.
Yeah.
It's also kind of like, it's sweet and it's also like pretty intense.
Right.
I mean, she, like, if, you know, the conclusion that most people draw based on the culture of that time is that this girl's like 12 or 13 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a 13-year-old daughter. Can you imagine Nora, like, basically proclaiming a giant, like, wealth revolution? That, like, the rich are going to be sent away empty-handed, and the poor are going to be given what they need. Like, like she is talking about a turning of the tables. Like,
right.
Justice is about to roll down from heaven on the heads of those who have oppressed people. Like, that's a pretty intense little statement for somebody Nora's age to be making, you know?
Right, right. It's interesting. I was looking up another thing, but I just have a few thoughts about this. I mean, I have a lot of thoughts. It is intense and it's beautiful. It's all the things, you know, just my soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. Okay, like, for her, first of all, to be praising Jesus for the fact that she's, to be praising the Lord that she's pregnant, that's nuts. It's nuts, you know? And there's also a part of me, which, like, I need to hit pause. If you haven't, the other day we were driving to the prison and I had like an hour drive, so I listened to the whole Waterdeep play, the unusual.
The Strange Tale of Mary and Joseph.
Yeah. And it's just a cool perspective. It's like a lot of
Strange Tale of Mary and Joseph's Baby.
The Unusual Tale of Mary and Joseph's Baby. So it's just like, it's a lot of speculation. It's also really cool. And there's a couple, there's a reprise of this and there's a version of it where they put it to, it's called the Magnificat, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, that's which right. is actually what it's called. And it's just beautiful. You know, they put it to music and they sing it and Mary's singing it, which is lovely. But I did have a thought where I was just like, man, like, how many times in my life do I think out loud, gosh, like, or say out loud to the Lord, for better or for worse, which, like, I think this is, honestly, I think this is against scripture, but just.
Are you about to be a heretic?
Yeah, I'm about to be a heretic. But just like, hey, Lord, if you would just show up right now,
right,
all the things would go away. All the nights where I don't sleep, or all the worries I have, all the fear I have about the future. And here's this girl who's 12, 13, has an angel appear to her and tell her these things. When her baby is born, people come from afar to see it because he's the king.
Right.
Another angel appears to her husband and tells him to leave. They do it. They're protected. A star follows them. You know, it's just like all these things that are undeniably the Lord. And then in Mark chapter 3, she is calling Jesus crazy. You know, just like, you're out of your mind.
She goes to arrest him.
Yeah. It's like, but like, this is not me throwing shade on Mary. This is me saying, well, this is helpful for me. Because here she is praising the Lord. And despite that, just the fact that she is praising him and thankful that this is happening to her, and is like, or however that's viewed, and all the, you know, she helped raise Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, she watched him. She saw him do miracles, probably saw him do things no one ever saw, you know, like,
right,
like Osseo Spoon for my, you know, just like stuff like that we don't ever hear about that, like, may have happened around the house, you know, like, well, I don't know.
That's the closest to heresy we've gotten on the show.
Yeah, I presume something, but he had to have done some stuff as a kid.
Well, John says his first miracle was at Cana, in the wedding of Cana. He said that was the first sign he performed.
Yeah.
So he didn't do anything before that.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Osseo Spoon. I love that it was an actual spell from Harry Potter. That was amazing.
But this is funny because this has been the, like...
But to watch a sinless human being grow up.
Right.
I mean, that had to be amazing on its own.
What I'm trying to get at is, like, for Thomas in 2019, like, I think every year I try to look for something that's, like, capturing my... I put that in quotes because it's so Christian-y, but, like, capturing my heart about the Christmas story, because I've heard it for 26, 25 years. I'm like, okay, what's it going to be this year? Is it going to be that thing, or that thing that's been in the past? And this year, it's been brand new, and it's been the fact that, like, Mary was chosen for a big thing. She had a huge role and is awesome and is super sweet and obeys the Lord and does what he says, and had to be incredibly hard. I'll never understand it, to be a pregnant girl before she's married. Like, just all the stuff that is like, gosh, that's amazing that you did that. And then to see her stick her foot in her mouth, you know?
Yeah.
In Mark chapter 3, so not even that far after this, or, you know, right, not after this, but like, yeah, not far after Jesus starts his ministry.
Exactly.
It's like, great. And then, you know, but she's still around at the end of it and is like still sweet and like loves her son. And I can assume like loves the Lord still, and, but is like making a mess still along the way. And it's like, oh, that's really helpful.
It is.
I'm like, this is a bit of a stretch for like a Christmas thing, but it is what it has been for me this year. I've been really thankful for it because I feel like I've been holding on lately to a lot of things the Lord has done for me, which has been helpful too. Just like, you know, you've been really good to me and I need to remember those things right now, because sometimes it doesn't feel like you are, but it's really helpful for me to remember them. And I wonder if Mary didn't have moments in her life where she thought, okay, you know, like, it feels dry right now, Lord, but I know that at this point for her, it was, I know at this point an angel came to me and spoke to me,
right,
you know, for me, it's not that, but it's, I know that, you know, 6 months ago you were doing this for me. And like, even though I don't notice that stuff right now in my life, I know you're still here and with me, but it's helpful for me to remember these little things in the past. And I'm wondering if Mary didn't have a life full of that, of hard times. And like we all do, like spiritually in her life, however it is. And she didn't have moments where she recalled her trip to Elizabeth and like singing and praising the Lord, and like her older, you know, older Elizabeth, who the Lord promised a baby to, and it happened. And just, you know, she knew, whether other people didn't, that she was a virgin and she got pregnant. That's right. So it's just like, I wonder if there weren't times like that throughout her life where she was like, oh yeah, this is hard right now, but you have been faithful to me. And there's a ton of evidence of it. Even if I don't realize it right now, and you are being that way, I know you are. You say you are. It doesn't feel like it, but you are. Yeah. But I know that I can grab this from the past and remember, oh yeah, you've always been like this with me. Thank you.
Yeah. There's a phrase in this, I like that. There's a phrase in this song that she sings where she says, he has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful. And like, that's a weird phrase to say about God, remembering to be merciful. It's like, it's just such a human, it's such a human construct to put upon God. Like the idea that God would like, oh yeah. And God would be like, oh yeah, I need to be merciful today. Mm-hmm. You know, like I use that reminders app in my phone, like probably more than anything else. I just use Siri to set reminders all the time. And it's the only way I can get anything done without forgetting to show up for somebody. Right. And I just set them all the time. And the thing that it made me think when we were just reading this in the beginning was the idea of God, like setting a reminder, like, oh yeah, be merciful to your kids. You know, it's like, God doesn't have to do that. God doesn't think the way we do. He's not like weighing, how do I want to be? Do I want to be a jerk face or do I want to be kind? You know, I mean, I'm constantly thinking that way. Like, okay, there are several ways I can respond to this thing that just happened to me. What would it look like for me to respond in a mature way and with generosity? You know, what I want to do is kick them in the shins, you know? So what would it look like for me to do the other thing? I need to remember, if I'm going to be merciful, I've got to remember it and intentionally do it. That's not the same thing with God. He doesn't have to do that, but that's what she says in here. Mm. And I think that's really interesting because, I think that's the way we feel about it when we realize how good God has been to us. Like when something happens and you're like, oh man, that was good. Then the way it feels is, oh, you remembered me. You remembered to show up. There's this really, like in the Old Testament, when Moses is telling the story of Noah and Noah and his family and all the animals and stuff, and they're on this giant boat in the middle of the world is covered in water. And like you end a chapter and you start the next one or whatever. And it says, and God remembered Noah and the boat. It's such a bizarre, again, just such a weird thing. It's like, I don't think God's mind works that way. He's like, oh yeah, the whole world is covered in water. And my dude Noah is down there in the boat. But like,
it's like he went on a vacation or something. Was like, yeah. Oh yeah. I gotta get back to that thing.
Yeah, I gotta check these emails.
Oh yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Oh, sorry. I got sidetracked. No, I forgot about it.
Exactly. You're hitting the nail exactly in the head. And it's like, but that's the phrase is God remembered Noah in the boat. And even though I know that's not the way God's mind works, it's the way it feels. Mm-hmm. It's like when he comes through for you, the way it feels from our perspective is, oh man, you remembered. Mm-hmm. Like when somebody remembers your birthday or somebody remembers that you had a difficult thing that week, like, and they just say like, oh, hey, how was Tuesday? And you're like, what do you mean Tuesday? And they're like, well, you had that one conversation and we talked, and it's like, dude, thanks for remembering that. That's so cool. Yeah, like, I think it went okay. Like, it feels that way from our perspective. So for God to do this for her, it's like everybody since Adam and Eve have been waiting on the Messiah. And this promise got more specific once Abraham entered the picture. And then she talks about Abraham and this thing, and she's like, it's happening, y'all. It's happening. He has remembered his promise.
It's funny because she, half of this, it's her talking about things God has done, and it's her out loud remembering, and that, like, that's what they did. You know, they had to have.
That's right.
That's what the, did. Like, I mean, just for them alone, it was 400 years of, okay, we haven't heard from a prophet. We haven't heard
right
any of that stuff. And then it's like, even people before then were like, just, you know, they were word of mouth retelling the story of Abraham and like reading and memorizing things and like, you know, all the stuff. And I love that in the middle of this, she is like, he has performed mighty deeds. He has scattered those. He has brought down rulers and has lifted up the humble. He's filled the hungry with good things. He has helped his servant. It's just like, she is remembering here as a 12 or 13 year old, the things she was, you know, taught in school or whatever it was. And I don't know. It's just, I don't know if it's true or not, but I just picture Mary her whole life remembering this and remembering what God did for her and what he used her for. And like, you know, we remember her, which is so cool. I mean, it talks about it in this. She just says, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. You know, it's just, which I don't know. It's just so cool. I'm like, I'm being super speculative with this, and I've been a lot so far on this episode, but Mary's helped me a lot this Christmas. Just the thought of, okay, Lord, you're not doing the thing you normally do, or you are, I just don't know it and I can't see it. And like, you feel far away from me. You're not, I know you're not. You say you're not, so therefore you're not. And you don't ever lie, and you don't, yeah, your promises are always true. But right now I'm having to remember things that you've done for me, and I'm having to remember things you've done for people 2000 years ago. And that's Mary's been. So thank you, Mary. I don't know if she's listening to me right now. She's probably not.
You think Mary listens to this podcast?
Probably.
Musicians do that are like really good at improvisation, which is that they memorize scales and they memorize arpeggios and they memorize licks. And then when they go to take like a solo or a break, they seamlessly weave together various scales, licks, and arpeggios in different patterns that they've never put together before. And it's because they practice these different disparate things so much that it's not exactly that thing they've been practicing every day. It's something new, and they just throw all the pieces together. It's like Legos and are building something brand new, but in real time. Mm-hmm. And that's like a mark of a really great solo player, like somebody that can solo on the guitar or the fiddle or whatever. And Mary, one thing that is so cool to me about Mary is that she's doing that with scriptures. Like, one of the things about this girl is like, this girl was like a Bible student. Mm-hmm. Like, there are so many little nods to old scriptures in these. There's no like direct, like, it's hard to draw a line directly from this is from this scripture and this is from that scripture, but they're all fed by these Old Testament passages. And it's like she's played these scales and these arpeggios and these licks so many times of all the scripture she had memorized, including different places in Psalms, different places. Like, there's some of these things look like they're lifted from the prayer of Hannah in 1 Samuel. Like, it's so,
which is so beautiful. If you haven't read it, goodness gracious,
it's very cool. And it's like, this is like, and what she's doing is like it's like a jazz piano solo. She's throwing together licks and arpeggios and runs of these scriptures that it's like, she's 12 years old, mm-hmm. but she has so much scripture in her mind and in her heart that it just bursts out in this complete thought. And I love one thing that you were saying in here about like, you know, that she's half of this is like talking about things the Lord has done, which is really interesting because some of this are things the Lord still hasn't done. And like, she is exalting about things that haven't happened yet. And like, that's a really cool thing. Is like, there are some things, it's like those who are proud in their inmost thoughts, they're still running stuff, mm-hmm. you know? And, the rich, they are not empty handed. Mm-hmm. They are not. There are more billionaires on this planet right now. Like, the wage stagnation is worse than it's ever been in the history of the world. And Mary is like, hey, there's coming a time. It's kind of reminds me of that place in Hebrews 11 where it talks about how Abraham, he got to the promised land and he was like, nah, this isn't it. This isn't what he promised me. Hmm. And he was like, there's something else coming. It's better. It was like, and it said that he was looking for a city whose architect and builder was God. She is she is talking about things that haven't even happened yet. And they're going to. There is going to be justice, mm-hmm. complete and total. And this little kid is like fired up about it.
Yeah. So cool.
It is cool. And I think like, but like to go back to your point, the heart of this is that all of this is fed out of her courage just to,
yeah.
just to go ahead and say, yeah, I'll do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's so funny. I have like my Christmas, my Advent foundation, you know, the like,
I thought you were going to talk about your Christmas playlist.
No, we're done. We're done promoting it.
It's a great playlist.
It's great. We're done promoting it. But I have like my building blocks of where I know I'm going to start the Advent season every year. And it's always with like the nobility of Joseph and how awesome of a guy he was and how sad I am that he gets such a tiny role in this whole thing. You know, I'm like, gosh, I wish I knew more about you. I wish you wrote a book and we could see what you're like, you know, as a writer, but it probably wasn't your thing. You like to make chairs and stuff, but yeah, like, yeah. you know, you got that. You've got like Zachariah's tiny little part. You've got, you know,
Simeon.
Elizabeth, yeah, Simeon. Yeah, we talked about these people last time. Yeah. And I've got my like, okay, these aren't Sunday school, but they're the things Thomas is going to start with. And like, you know, every Advent I'm going to start with these things. And like one of them is Mary's courage and her faithfulness. And it's like it sounds like a, yeah, duh, you should start there. Like, duh. But it's like, no, that was a big deal. It wasn't a tiny little thing that she said yes to this. It wasn't a tiny thing that she like, cause I don't think she went to Elizabeth because she really wanted to, you know, like, I don't think she was like, it's my time of year. I go to my cousin's house and like stay for a while. It's like, no, I bet everyone in your town was talking about you.
Right.
I bet everyone in your family was rolling their eyes at everything you said. And she just had to get out of there, but she did it, you know, like, I don't know. I think it's a big deal. I think it's something to be thankful for. And
well, and it's inspiring. It's inspiring right. to be a person who, come what may, has the courage to say, what does God ask me to do? It's a yes.
Right.
I don't even know what this is going to mean for me, but it's going to be a yes.
Right. And like, I don't know if this is legal or not spiritually, but I try to thank her like once a Christmas, you know, it's like I really do. And it sounds so stupid and cheesy, but I'm like, and I don't know if like theologically she can hear that, you know, like, I don't know if she's like, if they're like, yeah, Mary, you got another thank you. Or like, or if it's just like, I don't really give a crap what anyone's doing down there. I'm doing my thing or whatever. But like I do. And not to say that there wouldn't have been another way if she would have said no. But I'm glad we didn't have to find that out. I'm thankful for the way the story worked out.
That it was her.
Yeah. I'm just like, hey, thanks. Like you, I mean, I think the Lord knew from the beginning that you were going to say yes to this.
You know, the mission was the sacrifice of Jesus, and that the mission kicked off with a little middle school kid saying, whatever God wants, it's a yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do it. And I'll sacrifice.
Yeah, 13-year-old Thomas was not doing that.
Oh, no.
No. I like saying no to God. I like thinking I like to say yes to him, and I like telling other people to say yes to him, but I was great at saying no to him.
We're going to do something to end this show that we don't do very often, which is I have an old song I wrote called Mary the Brave about Mary.
Oh, good.
And
hold on 1 second. You need to stop talking for a second. Lee.
We don't do this very often.
About... It was 2011 that album came out.
Yeah. No,
I was a senior in high school, and I'll never forget being a yield sipper, which meant like I got to go to the church for 2 periods a day and work, air quotes.
Work, air quotes.
I'd pick up Miss Betty's, eat at the church.
If Kristen Livesey heard this, she would be rolling her eyes.
But I remember being in the church and Lee sent him, he said, what's your email? Send me an email of, it was a Dropbox link to a song he had just done for an album that he's about to release. And it was this Christmas album that he wrote. And it's just a 5-song EP. And you know what? When I was a, I love it. It's fantastic. It's just a beautiful little story. And
the
one
cover
of the
art was done by Tom Jobe.
It's beautiful. The whole thing's beautiful and it's seamless. It just keeps going from start to finish. There's a campfire in there. It's amazing. And the one about Mary is just like a sweet little thank you to her. And I think it's amazing. And when I was a freshman in college, for some reason I had like 3 or 4 physical copies of that CD. I don't know if I stole them from you or paid for them or what, but I left one on Matthew Ruiz's dresser.
Are you serious?
I went and stayed with him at Christmas. Yeah.
Oh man.
I gave it to him for a Christmas present, but I have another one sitting at home at my parents' house right now. I know exactly where it is. Just so funny. But I think it's really sweet. And you should listen to it on Spotify. I think it's called Make It Right, a Christmas Suite in E Major. Is that right?
Yeah, mostly in E Major.
Mostly in E Major. Yeah. I left them mostly out.
It has the adverb.
But it's beautiful. It's really pretty. You sent me the title track.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, includes Lap Steel Guitar by Glenn Fitzgerald.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a
And your children sing A Little Town of Bethlehem.
Yeah, my daughters. Yeah, my son wasn't born yet. And
Jack was born.
Well, he was born. He wasn't singing yet.
Yeah, he was 2.
Yeah, he was 2. He wasn't recordable yet.
Yeah.
But yeah, Anna and Nora sing A Little Town of Bethlehem. And I listened
to
that.
I was a stupid high schooler whose album, this album helped.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It was funny because Anna does this thing when she's singing where she like clears her throat. Like yeah. In the middle and like, and like, she still does that like at so age sweet. 16. Yeah. So we'll end with Mary the Brave and I hope that I feel inspired. I feel inspired to just say whatever you want, Lord, it's a yes. And I hope that you guys do too. Thank you for listening and we're grateful for you and for your encouragement. Until next time, until next time, it'll be a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Happy Christmas, everyone.
Yeah. Have a great Christmas.
Have a great Christmas.
I'm Lee.
I'm Thomas.
This has been Ancient and New.
No one listened. No one believed. They just whispered. They gossiped and grieved. But one brave girl walked into the mess. Willingly, you said yes. No baby shower and no joyful tears. Just pointed fingers, sickness and fear. And one brave girl who faced all the mess. Gracefully, you said yes. Well, no celebration with family and friends. Just shepherds, the strangers that angels would send to the stable, the husband, the baby, the mess, and the brave girl who said yes. Oh, brave girl, you said yes. Go by, get in the dark.
street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight.